interview episode of Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the usually quirky podcast that gives writing tips and life tips. I'm Carrie Jones, and with me today is Kim Showalter. Kim's a displaced Western New Yorker living in Detroit, a big fan of football, hockey, and YA literature, which is the best mashup ever. And I'm so excited to have her here today. Kim, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Carrie.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. Okay, I just want to know, have you always been a big lover of football, hockey, and YA literature? And are you a Bills fan if you're from Western New York?
Not always. The thing I've been a fan of all my life has definitely been YA literature.
Really?
Hockey I grew up with, and same with football, but it wasn't until I was a little bit older that I started to appreciate them. And then actually, the Buffalo Bills, I am an absolute diehard fan of. Bills in Buffalo is my happy place. Aww. But I didn't really start to love football until I moved away from home for college. And it was kind of my way to feel like I was still connected back home to my mom, to my family back in Niagara Falls. Because that's what we would do, is just we did sports together. So the farther away from home I got, the more I fell in love with sports and the culture of home.
Wait, and you're from Niagara Falls? I've never met anyone from Niagara Falls before. That's really cool.
Well, was now it, you have.
Did you grow up right there? And what was it like? You know, like that you have that Canadian, like Las Vegas side, and then you have the U.S. side, and it seems so like polarities almost. Was it cool? Did you go to Canada all the time? Like, what's the culture and community in Niagara Falls like? Can you speak to that at all?
I can. I love to. I was born in Washington State. I'm a Navy brat, a very proud Navy brat on both sides.
Cool.
And so my dad got stationed in Japan when I was really young, maybe 5 or so. And so my mother, sister, and I went back to Niagara Falls because where my mom is from. And that's pretty much where I grew up. I went to school. It's where my mom's side of the family is. And so Niagara Falls, you know, it'll have its lovers and its haters, but it's part of the overall Western New York community. And, you know, Buffalo, I usually say I'm from Buffalo because if I say Niagara Falls, I get the, oh, you're Canadian.
Oh, really? Do people just forget the U.S.?
Not to knock my Canadian neighbors. Yes, they definitely do.
I can't believe they forget that we have a side. That's so funny.
To be fair, the Canadian side is more beautiful. I'll be fair. They have the better side of the falls.
They have, I just was there for a conference that I had to speak at this fall, and it was so big and bright, and like the actual, you know, built up commercial part in Canada, and you know, there's like Ripley's Believe It or Not, there are children who are terrified of walking by it, like it was just so lively. And then the actual falls they're just so gorgeous. Like and did it give you like a great appreciation for nature too, growing up there and seeing that powerful falls? I guess like the water is just so immense and amazing. It's crazy to me.
Absolutely. I mean, I've lived there 20 plus years, and anytime that I cross the border to go to and from to go see my mom, or anytime we drive by, I still, you know, look out the car window when I'm not the one driving. I'm still in awe of it every time.
One of my things I remember the most about college is people being like, we got to go to the Niagara Falls. And then there's always one person who's like, I can't because I have an arrest record and I can't go to Canada. That was always like my big thing, was everyone was like, let's go to Quebec. Like the two places when you grow up in New England that you like tend to go when you go to Canada is Quebec City and Niagara Falls. And it's just so funny because there's always one person in your group of friends or new group of friends who has to suddenly admit that they were arrested for something in the past. So I always,
yeah, that happens.
Yeah usually at a Bills game maybe. But like I'm really like intrigued by like you know, your main cited passions, because it's football, which we tend to think is a gender specific thing, which it shouldn't be thought that way, but we have these stereotypes, and hockey, which we tend to think of as a gender specific thing, which it shouldn't be again, and then YA, which we also think of, and they cross all these things. Is there any similarities, you think, in the loves that you have? I know that's a hard question, really.
It is. I think for me, I think all of them just tie back to kind of my sense of home and my sense of what makes me happy.
Yeah.
I mean, in high school, it was really, end of middle school, beginning of high school was when I really started to get into hockey, and the Buffalo Sabres are our team, you know, and during those years, it was when the team was really great. We made some pretty great runs in the playoffs. You would show up anywhere and everyone had something Sabres on. You would have people over our house.
Aww. You know,
it was just a part of life.
Yeah.
And that makes me, whenever I get homesick, to like think about my sports teams. But at the same time, it is separate from the whole loving YA books. And I think that is more, I've been that chronic book nerd ever since I was a little kid, you know.
Yeah.
When I was visiting grandparents, they'd have to run me to the library in the summer two or three times a week. My mom was always humoring me with going to Barnes & Noble and negotiating, all right, you can get one hardcover and two paperbacks or three paperbacks.
My mom used to do that with me. Like, she used to go to the grocery store and she'd drop me off at the bookstore. It wasn't Buffalo, it was in Barnes and Noble's. It was like a local domain specific bookstore called Mr. Paperback, I think, or New England. And she'd be like, you can pick out one book by the time I'm done. And I was like, okay. And I just like perused that bookstore. And it was so great. Like, did you have like, was that a highlight for you when you got to go there and you did the negotiations for those books?
Absolutely. It was my mom and I thing, and it still is. Like, we don't usually go to bookstores without the other, even though we don't live in the same state anymore. We'll go. Or, like, if I'm really, really homesick, I'll be like, all right, Mom, I'm going to Barnes & Noble. I'll call you. And so I'll go in, I'll get myself a coffee, and I'll walk through the aisles and tell her books that I'm looking at. And she'll chat with me. Like, I'll keep my voice down to be respectful, of course. But it's kind of our thing. And even though we're a few hundred miles apart now, like, it's still something that we do. It makes us feel a little bit happier, a little bit closer. When I do get to visit her, vice versa, then it's almost always a trip to the bookstore is pretty high up on our list of things to do.
That's so sweet. That's so sweet. And you guys are super close because your mom's really, like, kind of cool, isn't she?
I think my mom is awesome.
Yeah, I remember on social media somewhere you were, like, talking about you had like a text exchange between you and your mom that you screenshot or screen capped. I forgot the words. My brain's a little broken right now. And it was like, she was telling you about the Dropkick Murphys stream live, I think, in that one. Yes. I'm like, oh, her mom is amazing. She's so lucky. And your mom was in the Navy too?
Or was it?
Wow. That's cool. So Navy on both sides, but you didn't do Navy.
I did not.
Instead, you were super brave and ended up in Michigan. How did that happen? Was that like a big life decision for you? Was it hard?
So it's a really kind of weird, convoluted story. So bear with me.
No, it's good. We like convoluted.
So I grew up in Niagara Falls. I went to undergrad in a small state school called SUNY Geneseo,
which is
really like an hour and a half from home. And then I decided to be super brave and move to Boston all by myself for grad school. Ooh. And I went to Boston University.
Wow.
Yeah.
And
so
was that scary?
It was horrifying because I knew no one. I knew nothing about living in a city. I had never taken a subway before. It was absolutely terrifying in every single possible way. I loved it, though. Except... Yeah. I lived there in 2015, 2016, and that was when Boston had the worst winter on record ever.
That's terrible. I'm so sorry. It was a really
It's great stories.
Oh, well, that's true. And you are from Western New York State. When you all have some weather over there, a lot of winter and wow. And then you ended up from Boston into Michigan.
I actually went to California first.
No, you did not. You were everywhere.
Yeah, I moved to California after that winter. I said, I've had enough East Coast for a little bit. I had friends in California. I was lucky enough to get a job out there. So I headed for warmer weather and sunnier weather. And I stayed in California for two and a half years. And the day before I left Boston, my niece was born. My older sister lives in Michigan, has lived here with her husband for at least 15 years now. They moved here from Western New York because he got accepted to University of Michigan's pharmacy school.
Oh, wow.
And so those 2 years in California celebrating birthdays and Thanksgivings and Christmases via FaceTime, it just wasn't doing it for me. So, yeah. And I miss the snow. I admit that I did miss the snow. I like my my snow and my fall colors. So I moved back east and I've been in Michigan for a little over 2 years now.
Wow. Wow. Do you like it there?
I do. I have no plans as of that I know of to move anytime soon. I'm slowly working on convincing my mom to come out and join us.
Aw, that would be nice. Cause you get so, you know, like so many of your loves are about home and family that it would be so cool if your mom was out there too.
Oh, yeah, know? I'm working on it. It's my pet project for right now.
Ooh, I bet you can succeed. I bet you can do it. When I was just thinking a little bit about like how you grew up, you know, you self-proclaimed Navy brat. What's it like to grow up? You know, there's a military brat, army brat, but like specifically Navy brat. Do you think it's a little different, that subculture and lifestyle, or is it just like everything else?
I think it probably is a little bit, maybe a little bit more resilience for taking on the unknown and moving into new places. I am lucky in that I didn't quite experience the full, I guess, sort of cliche of being the child of somebody in the service. My sister did, you know. She was born in Hawaii, then she moved to Washington State. Then I was born. We moved to California. We moved to Niagara Falls. She moved a handful of other times before I was born. So she lived all over the country before the age of, you know, 10 or 11. And so she experienced that in the, you know, having to change school districts and make new friends and all of that.
Yeah.
But really, I only had to deal with really the big move to Niagara Falls is only as much as I really remember. And then my dad being overseas. It's really all that I remember.
Wow. So your sister probably had to be super resilient and kind of like go with the flow and adapt to change. And so many people are so afraid of change. I always wonder if like, you know, the kids who get uprooted and sent into a new school district, if they're not homeschooled and then uprooted and sent into another one, are better at making friends and like surveying and observing the situation than those of us who are rooted in one town our whole lives, you know, like, I wonder how you adapt to survive, you know?
Yeah, that's really interesting. I don't know. My sister and I both, we tend to be on the more introverted side of things.
Yeah.
So I know it's already, you know, quote unquote, not easy to make friends was never one of our strong points growing up. Not that we had a hard time with it, but we were definitely on the quieter side, me especially.
Yeah.
But I would think that we both turned out pretty well adjusted.
Yeah, you seem super well adjusted. Like you're amazing and so fun to talk to and so kind. And I am ashamed to tell you this, but when I looked up the Buffalo Bills, because my ex-husband was a big Buffalo Bill fan, like loved the Bills and still loves them. But when I looked them up and I just typed Buffalo Bills into my search engine, do you know what? But the first thing that came up was, it was, do the Buffalo Bills still exist?
Aw.
I know. I couldn't. I was like, what? Wait, what? Like, what? Like, I had this, like, triple take. Because for me, growing up especially, the Bills were always such a huge force, you know? And I am just trying to imagine these people typing that into their search bar. And where they're even coming from. It's so weird, you know, because they have such huge, maybe it's because I'm from New England and where the Patriots are. Not that I'm necessarily a Patriots fan, but like the Bills have already like had this rivalry with the Pats and the Dolphins and the Jets. And like, to me, they're like the team, you know, like I can't. It's so interesting to think about people having to put that into their search bar. You know,
to be fair, we had some really not great seasons for a stretch there.
You're so kind. Is it hard to be a Bills fan? Like, is it hard?
It is. I think so. I mean, when you look at the history of the team, you know, how many Super Bowls we got to, how many near misses we had, and how many Super Bowls we've actually won, which is a big fat zero. I think it's one of those things that, you know, our main rivalry is with the Patriots, and, you know, it's always the, well, how many Super Bowls have we won? Like, it's, we can't really fight you on that. But I mean, if you ever step foot in Buffalo on a game day, you go anywhere near the stadium, Bills fans have a reputation for being a little crazy, but also they're some of the most genuinely warm and kind-hearted people who you go to buy your soda on game day or your beer and you're a buck short. There's probably somebody who will step up in line for like, hey man, I got you, don't worry about it. It's just, it's what Buffalo is. It's a city of good neighbors and we rally around our sports. If there's ever a cause or a charity that needs help or a neighbor who needs help, there is always a way in Buffalo to get the help you need. And I think that it's one of those things that I always campaign for, because people are like, oh, it's just sports. Sports isn't that important. And maybe not, but the community that you build around sports and the connections that you make through sports, that's really what is most important for me. Winning is great. Absolutely. Don't get me wrong. I love it when we win. But I love the teams and I love being a part of that.
Yeah, and you're so right. It's about, you know, making connections and being a community. And what I remember of Buffalo is just exactly what you said. People were so kind and supportive. And like, it was like you were just welcomed into the fold. You know, you had these instant friends who would do any, if you were shivering, they'd take off their parka and put it over your parka that you were already wearing just to try to help out. Like, It's a lovely place. I would be homesick for it, I think, if I grew up there. Definitely. And I'm so glad that you actually got to have that experience and be a Bills fan, you know, and be a Buffalo fan and be a YA fan. And, oh, I guess before we go, I should, because I've taken up so much of your time already and I appreciate it, Kim, I'm so sorry. But is there like, I know that you grew up being a big heavy reader, but is there a reason that you think you gravitated towards YA and young adult novels?
I think it was what was just kind of accessible to me in school. I'm a big lover of fantasy, of anything that really kind of, it takes the world that you live in and it adds just a little element of the unknown, some element of, you read it, you're like, oh, well, maybe there really are fairies in this world. Maybe there really is such thing as magic in this world. And it was just something, you know, every teen has some phase of teen angst, of being alone, of stresses of applying to college, whatever it might be. And so for me, those books were really like, oh, well, maybe there's that like little element that there's always hope out there in the world. It gave me that escape. Mm-hmm. And not to knock other genres of books, it's just I've never quite felt the connection with others that I have to YA. I mean, I grew up with it, you know, I was devouring books by the age of, I don't know, 5 or 6. And aww. It's even though I'm, you know, I'm 28 now and it's still, I go to the YA section and a few times people are like, well, why don't you read books for adults? Like I do, but why can't I enjoy these as well? They always say you're supposed to read and understand. You're supposed to read what you'd like to write. You know, one of these crazy days, maybe I'll get to. And yay! Even if I don't, I still get to read so many books.
Yeah, you're studying for your future career as, you know, published author extraordinaire.
Exactly.
International bestseller, Kim Showalter. I can see it all now. I'm like, I interviewed her once, and I'll like use it as bragging rights forever, and it'll be fantastic. I can't wait. Can't wait. I also was
well, do my best not to disappoint.
I know you're not going to. You're going to be amazing. You already are amazing. But if you choose to be a writer, you're going to be an amazing one too. I can tell. And I'm always right about this. Always right. I really am. And like it's like my magical like psychic power is being able to predict that. So you should probably do it. And before we go, let me thank you again for putting up with me when I'm a little bit punchy and my randomly bizarre questions. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to give a shout out to anything if you feel like it, because you've given us such a gift of your time and thoughts and insight into who you are. And I feel like the least that we can do is to, you know, give you an opportunity to give a random shout out to yourself or anyone else.
Well, I'm definitely not super interesting on social media, I don't think. So I'd rather give a shout out to my mom. I have not seen her in probably a month and a half at this point because of the global pandemic situation. We're all on lockdown. Yeah. Was hoping to get to spend Easter with her. She is working 60 hours a week right now. She's an awesome, awesome person working hard. And so just a shout out to my mom, and that as soon as we can hang out, then we're probably going to go to Barnes & Noble, get ourselves a coffee. And even though I'm an adult who buys my own books, I'll probably still negotiate with her over how many I'm allowed to buy.
You guys are so cute. So cute. I am so glad you have each other. And I'm so glad that I got to talk to you, Kim. You are awesome. And thank you so much for visiting our podcast today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thank your mom for me too, for making such a helping to create such a human, beautiful human being. You're the best.
I will.
All right. Thanks again. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, Kim.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Please like it and subscribe.
You can find it anywhere that podcasts are. I don't know why. They haven't kicked us off yet.
Yeah.
And you can join over 250,000 people who have listened to this podcast.
Man, you've been saying that number for a while.
Yeah. Well, it's really 200,000. I don't even know. It's a big number.
Sweet.
Anyways, the music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome, and it is made available through the Creative Commons license. If you go to our show notes on carriejonesbooks.blog or Dogs Are Smarter Than People, you can find out who this artist is and what their song is, and even go to their artist website. But it's Summer Spliff, and it's by Broke for Free. And you can find out more about my books and all that kind of stuff in my writing class, and I teach and I edit things by checking out Carrie Jones Books, CarrieJones Books.
Yeah.
.blog.
I gotta tell you real quick.
Oh no, honey, don't.
No, I just want to say that you're the best editor, teacher, writing coach ever.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Okay.
Very sweet.
I mean that. I can tell from your students' reactions. Thank you.